Savidow is a New York transplant, basketball enthusiast, and comedian whose hilarious videos have catapulted him to internet celebrity. He's funny, down to earth, and an overall good dude. We sat down late in spring to chat about his life, career, comedy, and a whole range of other topics, including his short-lived foray into the world of investment banking. It's a tough one to leave, and I respect him for it a lot, in no small part because it's a path that I myself was once upon a time considering. You can find Max on TikTok and Instagram with the handle Former Teenage Heartthrob. Happy listening.
Well, okay, look, we did this interview before.
We have done this interview before.
And it was lost. Yeah. So
it was good though. It was good.
It was a fucking good interview. We had lots of gems. We'll try to recreate some. Mm-hmm. Maybe there'll be some repetition, but we can recycle. We care about the environment.
If it goes in a different direction, I'm also okay with that.
There's some curveballs. Yeah. There's some spice in here. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
There's
good.
Some ice spice. Oh, she's one of these, call her a piece of candy because she's a rapper. Yeah. Oh, that doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
this Ice Spice person is doing with the music and the, that's a thing.
Oh yeah.
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 Someone sent me a TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but I opened it in Google. Mm-hmm. That's not true. I do have TikTok. I have like 2 TikToks from a year ago posted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, would love to see them.
Yes. They're riveting. Yeah. They're with Matt Taibbi actually, but they didn't get any views.
Who?
Matt, he's his journalist guy. He was the first guest on the podcast. He did the Twitter files recently. He's like in the news about that. He's all about this censorship industrial complex and how the government and social media are colluding to fucking stifle free speech.
Yeah, it's tough because like they own the platforms and like so because it's like a business, they can like they set the rules of what they want. But like, yeah, you really have to be careful about what you say because like you can be deplatformed and it's, so you gotta, you don't want to tread lightly because you want, especially like with the art you're making, you want to just like be able to like say
but
what you want to say.
But tough.
Yeah, yeah, it is tough. Mm-hmm.
No, man, you bring up a good point because like it's interesting. You don't want to tread lightly. You want to commit to the bit. You want to go all in. Mm-hmm. But by using whatever platform, if you're using Twitter, if you're using, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, you're agreeing to their rules. They've invited you into their house and there are not a lot of rules, but there's some.
And yeah, I've definitely run into some issues with not even free speech, just I got banned for because I made a video where I took a friend to get an abortion and it was just like one liner after one liner after one liner.
And you were on like the Daily Wire or something, right?
Oh yeah, someone did write an article
as like an like you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Look like at some, these crazy Gen
yeah. There
Z
was
people.
Like a it was like this thing called like Raw Egg Nationalist was the Twitter account like posted my
raw
video.
Raw Egg
Nationalist, yeah.
Like the ovary eggs?
No, I don't know. But that wasn't an opportune name. Yeah,
no, it would be cooked egg if cooked they egg think the baby, yeah. like you want the egg yeah. is cooked.
Yeah, you leave the cake in the oven.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, so like a conservative account like posted the video and I just started getting like spam reported. So TikTok never took the video down, but they, I did get suspended for a little bit.
You got this suspended from TikTok?
Banned twice because of the same video.
But then they unbanned you.
Yeah, they unbanned me like within 3 minutes each time. But what was very interesting is
do you have to is there like a person you talk to?
In some instances, like if you know someone on TikTok, you can just reach out to them, but a lot of people just have to appeal and wait. When the Twitter account, which has like hundreds of thousands of followers, posted the video to his audience of people that would hate what I made and hate me for it, I was getting a lot of like hate and a lot of threats and like people were like,
oh fuck.
Yeah. Like digging into like my family. But there was one comment that said, oh yeah, it's okay. And I'll tell you why, because there was one comment that said, guys, this is a joke. This is known satirist Max Avidow. And I said, known satirist. Okay. maybe it was all worth it. Yeah. Maybe it was all worth it to be known satirist Max Avidow.
I had a friend who, he was banned from PayPal.
Yeah. I know a lot of people get banned from payment platforms. Not like I don't know them personally, but some people like get banned from Venmo or PayPal.
I did know. Well, you can get banned from Venmo for like sending drug money, mm-hmm. but which is so dumb because people, not that I would know, but people mm-hmm. would like put like the pill emojis in there mm-hmm. or like a plant emoji mm-hmm. and it's like,
we know.
Yeah.
We know.
Nah, but yeah, he got banned from PayPal, which mm-hmm. he was a creator and that was his main payment processor. Mm-hmm. So now he's on Stripe where, I don't know, he says that's better, but like getting deplatformed, like if you're a creator and that's your mm-hmm. livelihood, it's tough. I mean, I don't... Mm-hmm. Where do you
turn to?
No, not where do you turn to. Where do you like creatively, I mean, inhibit yourself, or I guess you shouldn't. I mean, yeah. also because it's selectively applied, mm-hmm. right? It's like the idea of hate speech or incitement or whatever is like, who determines that? Also some account with like 10 followers, they post some raunchy shit. No one yeah. cares because mm-hmm. no one's watching it.
Yeah. But that's the case with anything that people say. Like,
we see the big guys fall more because they're more visible.
Because we have eyes on them. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
But where, I mean, this is like, do you feel inhibited in making your art, or you'll just push it until the point that like event, maybe you will get the platform, but that sucks.
I definitely am like conscious of what I can and can't do because like,
what can't you do? We don't have to talk about this too, but like generally,
you really can't talk much about sex or drugs.
You can't talk about sex.
You can't explicitly talk about sex.
What? Do we have to edit our former interviews?
Maybe. No, I don't think so. Like, it's just like, no, I think like, I don't know, just the,
oh, you like, cause there's like kids watching.
If like you say really nasty stuff, like it's like, there are certain words that you're not allowed to say, which is.
Oh,
like,
I've seen that with mm-hmm. the exclamation point or whatever.
Yeah. That's why people like put an exclamation point.
Or SEGS, SEGGS. Yeah,
SEGS. Or when, if they're using weed, they'll use like the plants, you know?
No, I don't know. Like what's, can you talk about like political, like race or fucking gender?
That's
generally
fine. Yeah, that's fine.
So what's not allowed?
Like they're like words. If it's like a dirty word, you're really not allowed to say it.
But people say fuck. You can't say like the N word or like the,
no, I mean, whatever. It's like, I feel like there are some videos that would get taken down for saying like, for saying fuck or something. Like, yeah, it's really, and that's the thing. It's really inconsistent with what they will allow. So like, I've seen people make videos about things that I have then gone on to make videos about and mine gets taken down. It's like, where's the line, you know? And it's like, and there's no one to ask about it because you just appeal to like the ether. Even like, I have a friend that works at TikTok and I've asked her questions about it. And a lot of times she's really helpful, but you know, there's only so much that like, it's an algorithm. There's only so much they can like actually like know, you know,
yeah.
that the humans can control.
How do you feel about TikTok versus Instagram? Like, just, do you use them for different things? Do you post different content on each?
So it's tricky. The difference, I think, is TikTok really breeds creativity in a way that Instagram doesn't.
How? Or, like, elaborate.
Mm-hmm. So with TikTok, you see so much more and you see so much more of what you like. And like, TikTok as a platform promotes creativity more than Instagram, I think, because like, I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive, but TikTok actually pushes long form videos more than Instagram does.
Okay.
Like, my most viral videos on TikTok are like a minute to 2 minutes.
Oh, sick.
And then like, I'll post a video on Instagram that's like 15 seconds and it'll go viral, and it just wouldn't go viral on.
How do you TikTok. Capture someone's attention for 2 minutes?
On TikTok?
Like, sorry, that came out wrong. Like, yeah, it's counterintuitive. I would think that everyone with the scrolling, like, people don't spend that mm-hmm. much time.
That's why they reward it so much more, I think, when you do.
Oh, when it does break whatever.
When it breaks some kind of wall, it just,
yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't know that. But what about, like, the you say TikTok breeds more creativity because there's just more shit on it?
There's more people creating. And I think, like, there are more people who create with TikTok in mind. Like, whereas like people just will post it on Reels. Like, there's the joke that like people who will on Instagram Reels will see a video like 2 months after it's been seen on TikTok, right? And then YouTube.
Oh, I have heard that.
So, and it's like, and it's because people create for TikTok.
Yeah.
And like the mechanisms of TikTok for sharing and commenting, like, I think the comments are like, you will get way more comments on TikTok than you will on Instagram. It's because like, it's just more native to the platform, and the sharing is so much more native. Like, I think, like, people will like send videos in the app, but they'll also text them. Like, I feel like I really don't get like people texting me Instagram videos that much. Like, I'll get them in DMs, but like, I think it's just like, it's a more exciting place to create. Like people are just more excited to be on TikTok.
That's a good, yeah. Chris, let's get moving. We'll make a TikTok. Mm-hmm. Well, actually we have one. Mm-hmm. We'll just start posting stuff on it.
I had an account when I first moved to New York that I was making videos on the account, started my job, stopped making videos, came back to it like a year later when I was ready to start making videos again. I was leaving my job and I got locked out. So I made a new account, and I remember I was so devastated. I was like, I built this huge following of 180 people on this other account. It was like, what will I do? And now I have to start over. You're telling me I have to start over now? I had viral videos. They had 3,000 to 6,000 views and now I have to start over. It's all relative, but the videos on that account I think are really funny. It's just like, it's like a time capsule of what I was like at that point in time. So I think it's funny.
Other people who I know with big social media stuff, platforms and followers and whatever.
Will they delete their old stuff?
No. Oh. They tell me that it's like benchmarks or whatever of like where they were at that point in their life. Okay. And they look back.
It's good to go. Okay, cool. Sorry.
Yeah. They said they're like signposts of like, that's what it was like then at that point in my mm-hmm. life. And yeah. This reminds me of XYZ. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's cool. Cause you're like keeping a diary almost mm-hmm. for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fun to like scroll back and see what I was making. And like a lot of times, like even if it's not going viral, like you look back and you're like, this was still funny. It's just like, once you like hit a breakthrough and you figure out what works for the masses.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of just follow that path and like, or I think what's really important with creativity is like, you know, that you are the leader, like the artist is the leader.
Yeah.
And like, I think on TikTok or just content creating in general, like people will do one thing and it'll work and they will like keep feeding people that thing because they know that it's what the people want. They know it's what their audience wants. But to me, it's like, that's what a businessman does. Like a businessman looks at what their customer base wants and says like, this is what you guys want.
Make here
it
need.
Is like buy more of it. Whereas like, I feel like an artist is like, or visionary of sorts. It will be like, this is what you want. You didn't ask for it. This is what you want.
Tim Apple said that.
Steve Jobs. There's a Henry Ford quote, anti-Semitic as he may be, the man had a way with words.
Jews here.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I know. I'm a Hebe myself. He said, if I asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses.
Yeah. People don't know. I think the Jobs, Mr. Jobs yeah. one was, that people don't know what they want until I tell them.
Yeah, it was like the iPhone didn't, there was nothing like that.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, that's the difference between, like, I think content creating can break into two buckets. It's the business person or the artist. And I think I do my best to stay on the side of the art because I think that's where it's the most fun.
Let's stay on the side of...
Stay on the side of art.
Yeah, man. I can't do the... Yeah, I can't do that, but I'm doing it.
And I've had people tell me like, you need to like give the people what they want. But like, honestly, when I try to do that, it's not fun for me. Fuck and then the videos do badly. Wow. And it's like, what I've done, if you like look back at my like catalog of stuff, it's like I do something for like 2 months and then I jump to the next thing in 2 months and then I jump to the next thing. And it's, I don't know, just like, I think if I was more oriented towards the idea of like give people what they want, maybe I could just strap in, but it's just like, it's not fun to do that. So.
Strap in or strap on?
Why not both?
Yeah. I'm going to log into TikTok and I'm going to follow you after this.
Yeah, please
just
do.
Be like it's my welcome. Second follower. So, mm-hmm. you know, big deal. For me, anyway,
yes,
I got to figure out how to follow someone. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out, and then
if you're having trouble, just give me a ring.
I'll give you a ring. I don't mm-hmm. want to get married to you.
But no, like,
you know. But. I want to say a joke.
Go for it.
Actually, I'll tell a couple of jokes. Mm-hmm. One of which is kind of relevant. The other not. Anyway, I don't like long windups, and then we'll get into some stuff. Mm-hmm. You were talking about, I think. Were you talking about Czechoslovakia, or you said Czech or something. Oh no, you're talking about abortions. That's how this got into my head, you know? What do you call an abortion in
Czechoslovakia?
In Czechoslovakia? A canceled Czech.
It's okay. A bounce check. Yeah, I think that's the, yeah. That's how it rolls off the tongue. Wait, you can do it again. Hold on.
What do you call an abortion in Czechoslovakia? Yeah.
What?
I canceled check. I'm sticking to what I said the first time. Okay. oh, no. Here's another one. how do you make a Jewish woman scream during sex?
How?
You pull your dick out of her ass and wipe it on the curtains.
Why does it have to be a Jewish woman?
She doesn't like having her curtains muddied.
Is that a Jewish thing?
I
feel like it could have been like, how do you make a girl scream during sex?
No, I don't know. I'm Jewish. And no, I don't, just to be clear.
No, I know. I
have the pass or the card or whatever.
No, I know you're Jewish, but I feel like that joke didn't need to be about a Jewish woman.
Yeah, they're very particular. You know, they like having nice curtains. They order off menu.
Jewish women do order off menu. That's really funny. Yeah. I've never heard it said like that, but yeah, the Jewish women I know, they're like, hey, I know it's not here, but could you?
That's a uniform experience.
I never realized that was a thing because I've only seen it like with a few people, but they've all,
you can't make jokes about that. You're not part of the club, unfortunately. Definitely not. You know what? I'll give you a pass, like, but I can revoke it. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'll give you like a few hour pass. All right. Look, you said when you first moved to New York, or you're talking about when you quit your job.
Yeah.
So, like, let's get into some of this. Mm-hmm. You know, how'd you get mixed up with all this comedy artist creator stuff? I mean, you were an investment banker at one point. So
mm-hmm. one of the all time mids. All time investment banking. Yeah.
Let's get some timeline, like anchor points here from USC to where are you from.
Yeah, yeah.
Investment banking here.
Grew up in Jersey.
Cool.
And big fan of Jersey, really like it. But always had this idea of like, I should go to Los Angeles. I want to be in LA, which I think a lot of people on the East Coast, everyone on the East Coast at some point has probably been like,
yeah, I flirted with it.
I should move to Los Angeles. I should move to the West Coast. And the reason I went to USC, I was studying business of cinematic arts.
Oh, sick.
When I first got there. Yeah, it was because I saw Entourage.
Were you part of the film school?
Yeah, it was like half business, half film. And I saw, it was because I saw Entourage.
Love that
and I
show.
Saw Ari Gold. Yeah. I was like, that's me. Which, you know, in retrospect, wow. Whoa. Bad call. But
it was Montrage.
An amazing show, but you shouldn't want to be Ari Gold.
No, maybe not.
So I was in the program. I was in it for like 2 weeks, and then there was a class that was mandatory for the program. And you good?
Yeah.
Okay. I was in a class that was mandatory for the Business of Cinematic Arts program, and we had to write an essay. And I was like, I don't really want to write this essay. So I dropped the major and just did business. And then while I was in college, like I've always been obsessed with comedy, but like it just never occurred to me that I could do it. I don't know. Just like a weird thing. You just like don't think like, oh, like look at all those people chasing their dreams. Good for them. You know, good for them. So I was just thinking about like what I wanted to do after college. I had no fucking clue. I just knew I wanted a job that would like preserve my optionality so that when I decided what I wanted to do, I could go do it. And I also wanted something that could help me pay off my student loans really quickly.
Yeah.
And so I landed on investment banking, graduated, moved to New York. But my last semester of college, I started doing a little bit of stand-up. I was going around, but COVID hit. So it was like really only 2 months of it.
Cool.
Moved to New York, start my job. Comedy's on the way back burner. And I'm doing my job. It's fine. And then in March, I took my first vacation from investment banking. I was in Bank of America's Consumer and Retail Investment Banking Division. Blake, if you're watching this, I know you did your best, and that means a lot. So I was in
consumer or something.
Yeah, so I was doing that. I took my first vacation, and I really wanted to try mushrooms.
Okay.
And I was
in a salad.
Au contraire. I really wanted to try mushrooms because in college, a lot of people did drugs, but when I was in college, I was like, I knew I like mentally I was not ready for it. So once I decided I was ready, I booked a vacation with like four of my best friends, and we went to a ranch near like a little bit above Bakersfield, California, where they have the cuties, clementine fields. And it was like a cow ranch. There were just cows out there grazing. We did some mushrooms. It was heaps of fun, but more than that, it was,
do you drink any chocolate milk from the brown cows?
No.
Okay.
but I, when I was tripping, my friend like said something to me where he just like started talking about autonomy. Yeah. I was like, you just do what you want. And he was like, yeah, it's autonomy. And he just like explained to me what autonomy is. And I never realized that like you can do whatever you want with your life. It literally never occurred to me. And so
that's critical.
It is. Yeah. If you don't realize that, you'll just do what you should do.
There's this whole idea is, I don't know if it was Sahil or someone. I don't think it was Sahil. Somebody said like, oh, Hormozy. With the beard and the calves, huge calves. Mm-hmm.
Big calves are the sign of good genetics.
I want to touch them. maybe we'll get him on the podcast and ask him. I'll wear latex gloves or something. Ask him if I can touch the calves. Uh-huh. No, he said he's a big advocate of eradicating the word should.
Yeah. Oh, should is the worst. You shouldn't do anything. Yeah. You should just do what you want to do. And you have to like live with the consequences of it is the big thing. And so I kind of took a step back and I was like, okay, what do I want to do? Because it was never even a thought. I was like, okay, if you gave me 24 hours free, how would I spend my time? And I was like, I would do something basketball related, do something comedy related. I would go for a run and I would hang out with my friends and family. And that's what I would do with my time. And so I was like, okay, how do I make money doing that? Like, how do I sustain myself? Because I really want to do comedy, but I'm not going to be able to make money in comedy right now. And, I'm having like this sensory thing. You see this thing right here?
Yeah.
All I can think about is what it would feel like on my teeth.
You want to chew on it?
I don't care. I don't know. It's just like if I like pull it. Do you guys ever have that where you like see something and you're like, what would that feel on my teeth if you like pulled it through? Or is that, maybe that's something I need to look into.
With pubic hair, yeah.
It's usually already there. So.
That's why you're thinking it.
It's my favorite floss.
Sorry. This whole time I've just been trying to.
Do you want
to
bite? I don't care.
No, I don't want to bite it. I like the whole thing is that it would feel really bad.
Oh, all right. I mean, sorry. I don't know. You want me to pat you on the back or something? Like,
no, it's
there,
okay,
there.
It's okay.
All right. Autonomy in the clementine fields.
Yes.
In the whatever fields.
So it's like, let me try and get a job at the NBA.
Okay. Yeah. Sick.
So I get a job at the NBA.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I did. Fuck. Cool, man.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. I was working
at Where the is the NBA?
Like, the National Basketball Association.
No. I know what it is. Where are they based?
New York.
Oh, New York. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Got a job there. Was doing it. Started my comedy career. Promised myself like,
what is a comedy like stand up going?
Yeah, it was doing a lot of stand up. But I also knew that I've always, even before I started comedy, I had this like, I was very much of the opinion that if you want to make it in comedy in this day and age, you cannot do it without some social media presence.
Yeah.
So I started making videos, and eventually I had more fun making the videos than I did doing anything else. So I just kept making the videos, and they started picking up around. This is in January 2020 when I started. They started picking up in like late March of 2022. Sorry, 2022 and 2022. January 2022, March 2022.
All right. So autonomy. You're in the fields and your boy is like, yo, we can just do whatever the fuck we want. And
he had long known that. It was a revelation for me. But dude, you know what's interesting about that? Do you guys know what an ego death is?
No. It's like a Buddhist thing, right? Or I don't know. It's meditation. What's
so ego death? An ego death is like when you take a psychedelic and basically you realize that your body and like your ego, like it's your body is just like a vessel floating through space. And it really is so meaningless and like everything's meaningless and nothing really matters. And it basically is like the death of your ego. And it happens when you take psychedelics. And it was literally the first time I'd ever taken psychedelics. And when I came down from the trip, I told my friends, I was like, you guys, I just had an ego death.
How did you have that language even? You Googled it?
I had known what it was. Oh. Like someone had said the word to me before, but I was like, I just had an ego death. My friend looked at me and was like, Max, for the last 4 hours, all you did was talk about yourself. You know, your ego's fine. Like it's you're chilling. Don't worry about that. but yeah, had just kind of like came back like an understanding of like what I wanted. And actually, so I had that understanding, but maybe I wasn't bold enough to act on it. Or I wouldn't have been bold enough to act on it. But my roommate sat me down when I got back from the vacation. He was like, Max, I need to tell you something. You are wasting your razzle dazzle in investment banking.
Fuck.
And yeah. So I quit my job. I mean, it took me like 6 months to find the job. I'm not someone that's just going to like do something without thinking about it or like finding it, figuring out what the next step is. So yeah, did that. And then while I was at the MBA, sorry.
All good, brother.
While I was at the NBA, started making videos. I would say by the end of April, I had like 50,000 followers. And I was like, okay, if by the end of the year, I have 300,000 followers, that's my sign.
You just pick, why not 250?
I have no fucking clue. Yeah, I was just whatever. Like, I have 300,000.
Okay, yeah.
That just seemed like
it's a good goalpost. Yeah, anyway.
Seemed like a number that was so big that it was like, if I'm able to reach that, like, this is your sign that you're funny enough to just go rip it, you know? And I ended up hitting that number in like July.
Fuck yeah, man. Congrats.
Or August of that year. Good. Thank you. And I was like, okay, you made this promise to yourself. Like, I wanted to finish out my contract at the NBA.
Were you playing on a team?
I was a cheerleader.
Okay.
And I wanted to finish out my contract. Now I was working in strategy at the 2K League. And
oh, sick.
Yeah. Cool. Wanted to finish out my contract, finished it out, and then jumped into comedy. And I've been doing that ever since.
Good.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's so much here. I think like one thing I talk about and think about a lot is the route away from investment banking, because everyone I went to school with, well, that's not even true statistically. In the circles in which I ran, it seemed like everyone was going to investment banking, consulting, management consulting, or tech. You know, that was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And as far as and there is like good reason to do it for security and learning. Whatever. Yeah, learning, like the paying off student loans. You know, optionality. Mm-hmm. What I found among these people who do investment banking. And they go to fancy colleges and they do investment banking is that a lot of them really don't like it.
No,
some of them do. There's some people who are hardos.
I've met one person that actually enjoys it. I think even a lot of the hardos hate it. I've literally met one person that enjoys it.
But they stick with it, and then it's this like treadmill of you grab the next thing, which is a private equity job, and the next thing.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden,
you come back and
you've spent 10, 15, 20 years doing some shit that you hate. And people derive meaning outside of work.
Yes.
In Australia, for example, I didn't know what a lot of my friends did for work. That, you know, it wasn't really, you know, vaguely, maybe she works in marketing, maybe he's a lawyer, I think. But it's like here, before you ask someone's fucking name, what do you do for work, or who are you with, or you know, whatever. I think part of it has to do with part of it's a cultural thing.
Definitely,
the Europeans, you know, they certain countries more than others, but like they'll take an hour or more for lunch. They'll have their lunch. They'll stop work at a certain hour. Dude, I found this to be so crazy when I you know send emails. Whenever.
Yeah, all hours of the day.
This guy had a fucking thing on his email in Australia that said, I work irregular hours. If you receive this outside of Australian working hours, don't feel the need to respond. That's okay. And I was like, what are you, from Wisconsin? Like,
what are you, a cheesehead?
Oh, no, there was a guy from Wisconsin last night.
Where were you last night?
Excellent question.
some context. Some
combination of I think East Williamsburg and then Bushwick. Yeah, that's it. There was a guy from Wisconsin and I made a joke about cheese. And then I like actually got quite hungry because I hadn't eaten.
Yeah. All I had today was a pizza. Small spinach tomato feta.
I could use a snack. You're looking all right.
Yeah. Thank you. I do what I can. I think it's the haircut.
But I think the investment banking thing is important because a lot of, you know, the young, smart, well-educated kids in New York, like fucking labored to get into these colleges, mm-hmm. the top schools in America. It just seems like kind of a waste to me. And I don't, there are good reasons to do it. I'm not one to judge. And I almost did do it mm-hmm. Until, you know, I went to Australia. I stayed, people are, the listeners anywhere are familiar with this story. But I think it's cool that you left. And I don't know, you know, we're never more than one or two decisions away from like totally different life. Mm-hmm. There is a world in which you are still there mm-hmm. with Blake.
And I'd be sad.
but that world is very real and it's not that hard to imagine.
Yeah, it was like
right?
literally like had I decided to just like,
just, if I was like, no, be a good soldier, gold soldier it, yeah. and like stop bitching and just grind just, it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I
the
could,
attitude.
I could still be there. Oh God, that would suck. Dude, my days rock. My days rock. I just write. And I'm silly and like I couldn't ask for a better life, you know.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
No, like not in a sarcastic way. I'm truly like fucking happy you found your dharma. Yeah.
I used to spend all day doing stuff that I didn't want to do. Yeah. Because I felt like it was what I should do. And should does not exist. Yeah. Should, I think should exists if you have children. That's where I think should exists.
I might. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
but to me, that's... But like when you're our age and really like you have...
Yeah, you should be selfish.
Yeah, you have no responsibilities to anyone but yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you want to be a good friend and like son and brother. But
even that is like you can choose to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think selfish like go actively wreak havoc on other people's lives. Mm-hmm. But like...
Spend your time how you want to spend it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And find a way to sustain yourself while doing it. You know, because I was down to, I would have worked at the NBA for 30 years if it meant like that's what it took to keep doing comedy. It's just like it worked out sooner than I thought it would. So
that's also cool. And it doesn't for everybody. I mean,
yes. And that was my mentality. I was like, listen, like you don't know how long it's going to take. Strap in, baby. Or
strap on.
So, yeah.
Talk to me a little bit, you know, about the different kinds of comedians that exist. You mentioned earlier that you can't be a comedian in this day and age without the online
stuff. You can. I just don't think you'll be a very successful one.
Well, I guess it depends on your metrics of success. But talk about this.
My conventional.
Financial. Okay. Yeah. That's
conventional.
Oh, conventional.
Like, because like it's probably like harder to get spots on like these big stages, like at festivals and stuff, or get your Netflix opportunities, like. If people aren't like following you, if people don't, but like a lot of people can prove that
people
out
gotta know
stand-up.
About you.
What?
Like people have to just know,
yeah,
like that you're there.
But, I think a lot of people can get that through stand-up. Like a lot of people will just clip up their stand-up shows and post them online, and that helps them grow. But that just was not how I was gonna do it. It just wasn't how I ended up doing it.
Oh, they'll clip up the live stand-up, you mean?
Exactly, as opposed to like making sketches or just like vlogging or some shit, you know?
Is there a distinct, like, I was here in this apartment once. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he said he's a comedian, but only on TikTok. He doesn't do stand-up. So there are creators who-
Sebastian.
Perhaps, yeah.
Perhaps, yeah.
Good, mm-hmm. nice hair.
Yep, big hair.
There are people. I think does Ami? No, Ami does stand up. Yeah, he does. He does do stand up. I've seen videos of him doing it. But I've seen videos of him doing it. There you go. Did I ever introduce you to Ami? Maybe.
I think maybe
it is a text. Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Also Jewish.
Yeah.
Not that that's at all relevant. but no, Ami's a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't like do the clubs. They just do it online, right?
Well, not stand up. Stand up, you got to be in clubs or just like touring or something. Like you can't do stand up to no one. That's an important part of stand up is, you know, you're speaking to someone.
So are these two different classes of or categories of comedians? Like some are
Stand up, some are content creators, some are just writers, some are actors. There's a lot of different ways to be a comedian. And like my goal in life was never to be like a specific kind of comedian. It was just to be like a professional, silly person. So
sick.
Yeah.
We should make a clip of that. Yeah, no, I mean, what about the subject matter, the content itself? Mm-hmm. Like when you're doing a stand-up set versus making a sketch, the jokes, you know, it's the format itself is different.
Yeah, the format itself is different, which definitely influences some of the jokes. But I think a lot of the jokes that I make online in like sketches could translate to
in some stand-up. Other, yeah, but right, there could be a version of them.
Yeah, that exists. That's stand-up. Yeah.
Why is it, I maybe don't watch enough comedy, but when you deliver the same set repeatedly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you give the same set again, then people can't come twice, or they can.
I mean, so a lot of people might feel that way, but like, because I've heard people go I've heard people go to shows and they're like, oh, like I saw this person again, I really liked him the first time, but he just did the same jokes again. And it's like, you wouldn't go to a concert and be upset that like Taylor Swift played songs that she's already written. It's like, that's how it works. Like it takes a long time to write these jokes.
Yeah.
And just because happen to see them in back-to-back weeks doesn't mean that they're a bad comedian. It means that they're probably a good comedian because they're working on their material. Yeah, the way I think about it is like people, like I love hearing a joke that I love more than once, because to me, it's like, it's hearing a song that I love again, you know? And it's, you're not going to hear a song you love for the first time, but there's meaning in seeing something or feeling something over, and like how your relationship to the jokes or the songs change is really interesting. And
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like, it's sort of like someone asked me, they asked about like writing, because I'm a writer. And I said, and like, you know, when you write a book and someone, if people don't like it, that did happen to me. I got piled on when the book event, it dipped first. Among other reasons, my commentary of Princeton was considered by some to be inflammatory.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you say? I have a copy, but I actually don't read.
That's so fine. A lot of the investment banking stuff, you know, everyone's,
you like piled on them.
Yeah. Well, no, I basically said like it's a big liar's club where the students, in order to get into Princeton, lie about
what they want
to
do.
Well, yeah. They lie about their commitments to social justice, basically, or like all this exaggerated, commitments to social justice in order to get in. And the university in turn says, we're going to produce entrepreneurs and mavericks and world changers, when in reality they produce people. 35% of the class goes right off the factory line into investment, or no, most of the class actually. Mm-hmm. I think Bill Dershowitz was on the podcast talking about this. 35% or I don't know. I wrote an article for Quillette. I have to relook at the statistics. But in the statistics I was using for, I think, 2020 or 2021, it was, or 2019 maybe, pre-pandemic, I controlled for that. Yeah. It was like 35 goes into investment banking, consulting, and tech, and the rest go into law or medicine. Mm-hmm. And then like a few people work at nonprofits and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that the school says we're going to produce the next class of world-changing mavericks and this.
But they do, I think.
The motto of Princeton is in the nation's service.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Actually, the Woodrow Wilson School got sued, mm-hmm. because it's a public policy school, and then like the vast majority of the graduates did not go on to work in public policy. Yeah.
I know, but I think with any institution, a lot of like, to be a maverick means to like break off from the norm. And I think like on average there are probably more students at Princeton that break off and change the world than there are at many other institutions. It's just, you know, because you're in it, you see so many of the investment, and you're
of course.
But I mean, like, a school can't produce exclusively mavericks, you know?
No, but that's...
You can't have a school of Dirk Nowitzkis.
That's kind of the promise.
And no, it's the promise, but it's like...
No, it's not going to be everyone.
Yeah.
It's also, investment banking is not the norm. Like, most of the country doesn't do that.
Yes,
That's an elite thing. Anyway, so the careerism from day one, I objected to. Mm-hmm. I objected to the rampant leftism on campus, and I didn't think there was enough conservative professors. Mm-hmm. I'm not even that conservative, but I thought there should have been more of a mixture, and I thought leftist orthodoxy had infiltrated the institution in a way that was contrarian to Enlightenment ideals. The Enlightenment mm-hmm. ideals for which a university is supposed to stand, mm-hmm. namely free speech, free thought, mm-hmm. debate, mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. I objected to, those were really the main big ones. Anyway, whatever. I published this, you know, straight white guy mm-hmm. criticizing Princeton. It was in the New York Post. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of my classmates weren't happy about my characterizations of Princeton, which mm-hmm. some people felt were unfair. Mm-hmm. whatever. That's totally irrelevant to anything. The idea is about art itself, like what I was getting at before, when you're writing something or you're being a comedian, when you put art out there, you're doing it as much for yourself as for other people.
Yeah. So, I mean, even more for yourself probably than, I mean, no, yeah. I think it depends. I think me personally, like
as I'm, much as maybe.
Yeah. I would say it's at least 50-50, but I, a big part of it, like I make it for myself. I make it cause like I have fun making it. Like I have fun writing. I have fun acting in these things with my friends. Whereas I like the reason I got into comedy was because like I wanted to have a really fun life. Like I wanted to do what I thought was fun. And like, I wanted to express myself. And in doing that, you know, hopefully connect with others. But I know that there are a lot of artists out there or like comedians that like do it for others because they're like, this is the best way that I can help the world. And it's like, that's awesome. But like, and I think it's really cool. It's just like, and I think a lot of people, I think more people would say that than actually mean it. But I really, I mean, I did it because I just like, I wanted to enjoy my life.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking about life enjoyment, and we're starting to wrap up here.
Yeah.
Like, oh dude, I could fucking murder a nice wrap after this. Yeah. Actually. I'm gonna like some food, like yeah. Latin food.
I'm so hungry.
With the jalapenos yeah. and the
I'm
cheese.
I'm going on the planter's nutmobile after this.
Is that a metaphor?
No. The planter's has a giant peanut truck. Like it looks like a giant peanut.
What?
Yeah.
And where?
They drive it around the country.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Oh, for professional comedian activities?
No.
Oh, like
it's
eat
just
peanut?
Like they hire like some undergrads fresh out of college and they spend an entire year driving the planter's nutmobile across the country to different places.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
And it's like a marketing job or whatever.
More or less, yeah.
There's
a promotional thing.
Do you get nuts?
Holy shit, do you get nuts? You get so many nuts. So I've done this in New York and LA. And what I did that they said no one had done before, but every time I go on, I do it because it is the most fun I've ever had in the world. More fun than anything I've ever done. And it's not even close.
You
get on the planter's nutmobile and you drive up different avenues of Manhattan and you stick.
Are you working or civilianing?
What do you mean?
Are you going for work
truck.
Or for fun?
Oh, I mean, like, it's for fun. Like, they don't pay me to be there. It's just the most fun thing.
But you're operating a motor vehicle? Or
no,
you're
no,
like,
I'm just, like, in the truck with them. Oh, and I get okay. in, and they give me bags of peanuts, and I, like, throw my head out the window, and I just start throwing the peanuts at people on the
what?
Street. Yeah, dude, and people go crazy. They love the peanuts. They love the free peanuts. They're just like, we want the...
This is awesome.
I know, dude. It's literally the most fun I've ever had in my life. This is my third and last time going on the Nutmobile because the class of people that are driving it right now that had initially reached out, this is one of their last weeks.
Oh, fuck, man. That mm-hmm. would have been so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
There was this Harley Davidson mm-hmm. internship or something mm-hmm. or job
yeah.
called, it was the Find Your Freedom internship where you drove Harleys around the country.
Yeah, basically advertising.
Filmed it. Yeah. yeah. And made like a travel vlog.
Uh-huh.
This is a few years ago. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's also this Jameson grad program. I was looking at it. I was going to go to Jakarta and be a Jameson brand ambassador.
Like the whiskey. Yeah, the whiskey.
Yeah. So they had an opening in Jakarta and I like went through the whole interview process. Mm-hmm. And then I was not allowed to continue because I did not have a European passport.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, they like travel around the world and they have all these mm-hmm. hotshot undergrads like promote yeah. Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
So I like peanuts. Oh, fuck. I'm going on a date tonight and the girl, she can't eat tree nuts. Are peanuts tree nuts?
Yes.
Because I was just craving peanuts. I have to brush my teeth before I see her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I maybe should do that anyway, but
I mean, not if you already did today, you know, you don't need to overkill.
Okay. Look, a lot of people complain bitterly about New York. Mm-hmm. But other people swear by it and stand by it. And you're wearing this hat. So like, and you moved here, you relocated yourself here as many other, mm-hmm. you know, fresh out of college, you know, hottie toddy smartos mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. So what is your take on New York? You like it? You hate it? You want to stay here? You think it's a good place to be for personal, professional, whatever?
I mean, for so many reasons, I love it. Like one, my whole family's here. My sister's across the, not the hall. My sister lives in Stuytown. My cousin lives in Stuytown. They're like literally like 2 minutes walking from me.
Oh, cool.
My mom lives on the Upper East Side across the street from my older sister. My cousins live on the Upper West Side. Like my whole family's here. I have a lot of friends here. Like, so for those reasons, I love it. But also like, one, I don't have to drive. I fucking hate driving. I don't have to drive, which is awesome.
Don't live in LA.
Yeah. No, don't live in LA. Don't have to drive is big. Everything's so accessible. Like if I'm like, oh, I'm hungry, I walk outside. I don't have to get into a car. Like it's just, it's all here. But more than any of that, it's like, I feel like New York City is like the place to chase your dreams.
Yeah.
Because everybody that moves to New York, like some people are born here, but like everybody that moves to New York does it for a very specific reason. Nobody like falls into moving to New York, you know, like you come here because like there was something you really wanted to do. And maybe you learn in New York that that wasn't what you wanted to do, but everyone comes here with some kind of goal in mind. Maybe the goal is just like, I want to be in New York, but that's a reason. And everybody comes here with a reason. It's not like, well, like, you know, I went to school in, you know, in North Carolina and I graduated. And so I'll just live in North Carolina. It's like, people want to be here. And, you can find a lot of people that also like, if there's something that you want to do in New York, there are people already doing it for the most part, you know, like, so you can build a really nice community around yourself and the things you want to do. And so I love New York, and, I would only ever leave if there was like an incredible opportunity, but I love it so much here.
That's heartening. I mean, for all the ups and downs and the bullshit, mm-hmm. I think it is a place to chase one's dreams. Maybe I'll move back here again. I mean, I'm here. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have been here for a few months. Mm-hmm. If I had came for personal reasons, mm-hmm. but New York is she's a cruel mistress sometimes, but she's a good mistress.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a place to really.
Everyone here has a dream. Everyone's chasing something,
mm-hmm. I think that there's some things. There's some goods and bads about like being like chase oriented, you know, to being chase oriented.
Vincent
chase oriented, yeah. But it's you know, like I think there's a lot to be said about just like being at peace with what you have. But I don't know, I'm very much someone that's like, I want to get after it. Like that makes me happy. That like makes me excited.
Yeah. Cool, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of things get me excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of which we can't talk about on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Final questions here. Favorite books, movies, and music.
Okay. So my favorite, I don't read, unfortunately. So I couldn't tell you a favorite book.
What about like a childhood book? If you give a mouse a cookie.
Oh,
I fucking love that book.
You know, there's a book called Seven Times Down, Eight Times Up. And it's like a book about anxiety, basically. And I really like that. I read it when I needed a hand.
Cool.
And it made me feel good.
You can have mine if you
want. I have your book, yes.
No,
yes.
No. My hand, if you want.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And then my favorite movies, my Mount Rushmore of movies are Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, The Nice Guys. Such a good movie.
That's with Ryan Gosling.
Such a fun movie. Dude, that movie is fun.
And yeah. Russell Crowe, right?
Yep. Yeah. So Eternal Sunshine, The Nice Guys, Nightcrawler,
Gyllenhaal. What a creeper. I mean, that's the idea. Yeah,
such a movie. And then like The Menu.
Oh, bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That shit's weird. I didn't see
it. Fine.
I read a review of it.
Really good. So those are my Mount Rushmore movies. And then songs. I think the most impactful songs for me have been...
From Hebrew School.
No. Die, die, inu,
die, die. Die.
My favorite songs have probably been... favorite's different than impactful.
Impactful.
Impact for me is like Astrovan by Mount Joy, which is a song about like getting after your dreams, but like it's basically like in the song he's like explaining to his mom that he'll be okay. like in the pursuit of his dreams, he's like, I'm going to be poor for however long, but like, that's okay. I'm okay with that. And I'm going to be okay. And I just want you to know that, but this is something I'm going to do. So that's a really important song to me. Adam's Song by Blink-182 is a really important song to me. Just because it was the first song where I heard and I was like, oh my God, I feel like that is like describes me. It felt like it was like speaking to me. And then Little Lion Man by Mumford and Sons.
Oh yeah.
Great song, but it's, there's a line, it's literally the first line of the song. It's like, weep for yourself, my man. Weep, little lion man, you'll never be what is in your heart. And I just remember like hearing that and being like, will I ever be what's in my heart? Because I feel like a lot of us know what's in our heart, but we're literally like afraid to go be that person.
But you are doing that now.
Yeah.
You're not the little lion man.
I don't know. But
you are what's in your heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, wow.
Maybe I'm the little fucking lion man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
is it lion like the animal or like lying?
L-I-O-N. Yeah.
Maybe like mm-hmm. there's a subconscious at play because he is lying to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's actually beautiful. I never thought about that. Little lion man. Yeah. I like that. But yeah, those are my favorite songs and movies and
sick
and book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To conclude, this is just a normal everyday kill, fuck, marry. Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, and Mrs. Incredible.
Oh, I would make love to Mrs. Incredible.
Really? It's tough.
In fact, it's not. In fact, it's never been easier. I would definitely make love to Mrs. Incredible. I would marry Elizabeth Warren. I'd probably Hillary, but if she's watching this, I don't mean that.
Yeah.
You are scary. Yes. So yeah, that's cool. that's all my FMK.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming on to 27 Rouge.
Thanks for having me.